It's just two guys slinging some bull. It's the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast.
I'm back.
On 1045theteam.com.
Get up off of that thing and dance to you. You better get up off of that thing and dance to you. Sing it now. Get up off of that thing.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Two Guys, One Mic Podcast. My name is Joe Bianchino, hanging out with you right here on 1045theteam.com. And I am joined, as always, by Mr. Pierce Bricks. Bricks,
what is going on, Joey B?
I'm good. By the way, new, simpler Twitter handle, Joe_1045. Easier to spell.
The public has been pushing for that for a while.
I know, they've been on us.
Because you have to go, you can't really, it's tough to rewind this podcast the way it's currently constructed right on the interwebs. So if you miss the, it's Joe_BIANHCIO.
Yeah.
And then you have to listen to the whole 45 minutes, which obviously people want to do because
exactly.
The show ages like Gouda the second time around. It's
right,
better
you
than
need,
the first
see,
time.
The problem is you need 6 or 7 listenings to get it, and generally people listen only 3 or 4 times.
Right, exactly. So why don't you give that to them one more time?
It's Joe_1045.
And obviously you can catch the kid, as always, at Game on Brixie.
Whoever thought that one up was much smarter when they
yeah.
started out. So let's, as everyone in the Capital Region will know, Giants training camp is open at the University of Albany. Bricks and I have been in the past couple days, and so we're going to open talking about the Giants and some rather somber news as cornerback Terrell Thomas, who figured to be improving the secondary that was woefully underperforming last year, if I can put. They sucked.
They were god awful. I mean, listen, at the end of the last season, you had Antrell Roll, who I believe when he was at the U was actually a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that to be true. But you had to move him back to corner. He doesn't necessarily have the natural speed at this stage of his career to do that. You had just Poes and Coes back there like crazy.
Yeah. Guys,
they were terrible. It was an awful scene.
Awful.
And then on top of that, you lose Aaron Ross in the offseason. Aaron Ross, I would say, I don't think he's a general disappointment as a Giant, but he certainly
comes
didn't.
And goes when he was a Giant. Like,
yeah.
Certain times you're like, "Wow, this guy's going to be great." And then other times why is he in the backfield?
Right. When we drafted him in the first round out of Texas, I mean, high hopes for the guy. I would say he never reached my personal expectations for him.
No.
Looking at his skill set, looking at his very decorated career out of the University of Texas.
Yeah. I myself was very critical. I've always his wife is an Olympic sprinter, and I've always kind of joked
that we need to sign that baby.
Yeah.
That baby needs to be signed to a Giants.
I've always thought that of the professional athletes in the Ross family, we got the bottom rung of the Ross family athletes as a Giant.
He is missing Jaguars training camp to go to London to support his wife, which I think is actually a pretty nice move by Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, if you're missing Jacksonville Jaguar camp,
what exactly are you missing?
Yeah.
It's funny though, because the Jacksonville Jaguars are obviously not a top tier program. And you have to wonder, you think Jerry Reese is letting some high-priced guy that they just acquired who has never practiced within this system?
Yeah.
You think that guy is missing the first 2 weeks
yeah.
of training camp?
Martellus Bennett's not leaving.
Yeah.
He's not, can I go to watch the Olympics? No, Martellus,
no.
You can sit here and catch passes from Eli Manning.
It's on tape delay, bro. Yeah, so I that is funny. But yeah, so the secondary takes a huge hit with the loss of TT, and it really goes beyond that. I really like Terrell Thomas. He's been one of my favorite members of the Giants.
He's psyched. He's handing out those. He's got T-shirts that he's handing out.
Guys handing out shirts. I mean, look, if you look at his 2010 numbers, they're intimidating. He had over 100 tackles, led the Giants in tackles, which says something about the linebacker core. Your cornerback should never lead your team in tackles. But
does it say more about how awful the linebacking core is, or does it say more about Terrell Thomas as a player. I think it speaks more to Thomas as a player. Watching, I thought he was flying everywhere.
It's equal, exactly.
You want somebody up there to make the stop before Thomas, but he was around the ball
all season. Unfortunately, that means that the ball is getting into the secondary frequently. but he's a tackle machine. He had 5 picks, so it's not like they're just completing passes to Thomas's guy and then Thomas is tackling him. That's not the way it was going. And, you know, you get to the point where you feel bad for him. This could be career-ending, to be quite honest with you.
It's going
to be
his third ACL. They've said that it's a partial tear. They're thinking exploratory surgery to discover the extent of the injury. But just being at Tom Coughlin's press conference yesterday, that dude was not happy. He looked a little... Things just around the team kind of seemed deflated a little bit after that news came down. Everyone's just kind of like, ugh.
It's a huge blow, but at the same time, and if you want to look at it glass half full from a Giants perspective, you do have Prince Amukamara.
Some depth at cornerback.
You do. You have more depth than you did last year. The problem is, once you start losing guys early, it's the same thing. Listen, the Giants were deep at cornerback going into last season. Mm-hmm. They lost Terrell Thomas. All of a sudden, there goes your depth.
Yeah.
So when your depth turns into the guys starting on your team before you even snap the first ball of the year, you're looking at some problems.
I will say this. Being at camp yesterday, watching everything, Amukamara, who figures to be the guy to slip into Thomas's role if he is out for the season, he looked great. He was covering everything. He was all over the ball, had Hickson covered a couple of times. Couple other receivers. I mean, he was covering every. Should have picked off Manning, but he's standing there waiting for the ball to come down, and Hickson tackles him to the ground. And
speaking of guys with knee injuries, I'm glad that Hickson's out there tackling people for no reason.
But you know, it's just Michael Coe didn't have a great day yesterday. Amukamara did, stepped up, and so that's it's a blow. But you hope that there's enough depth there, and you really hope that line. Can cover
a
lot of those.
Listen, if it's a very partial tear, if it's a sprain, it could be a situation where he's out 8 to 10 weeks, and then you're looking at him returning week 7, week 8 of the NFL season, right when the team needs a midseason boost. You get TT back; it's a huge boost for morale. It also provides a lot of depth. That could be, a positive. So you wish the best for TT.
What have your thoughts? You've been at Giants camp the past couple of days. Yeah. I have as well. What are your overall impressions of camp, the team? What are your thoughts on training camps in general?
I actually like training camp. I know we were talking the other day on Game On with Bruce Jacobs on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. And Bruce, he's been there a bunch of times. I find camps exciting. I think that there is actually a lot that you can learn from watching camps. A couple people that have stood out to me, one would be David Wilson. I think that's obvious.
First-round
pick. Kind of a bizarre first-round pick. I know a lot of people were looking at Kobe Fleener at that spot. A lot of Giants fans and David Wilson.
Yeah, I have friends of mine.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Friends of mine, I rate that they didn't take a lineman in that spot.
Which could come back to bite him, because I would
absolutely
say that's the biggest weakness on the team.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch a Giants training camp practice, it's really hard to say, especially before they get into full-on scrimmages, which will be probably sometime either later this week or next week. It's hard to say, well, this offensive lineman looks good and this guy looks bad.
Right. When they're playing just in shoulder pads and there's no tackling, it's kind of hard.
And those guys are just, pushing around big metal things with pads on them. It's tough to really gauge that. But David Wilson looks explosive.
Jarrell Jernigan's had a great camp.
Has a great camp. Not only does he have a great camp, but another thing, especially when you're watching the Tom Coughlin camp, it's who's playing where and how many times are they touching the football.
Mm-hmm.
And Jernigan was in the doghouse last season after being unable to secure the football at kickoffs. And that's Coughlin's biggest thing. If you're fumbling the football, you're not touching the football.
Right, and I think that's what you're, especially with Wilson. When I heard Wilson was drafted, first thing I thought is, all right, the Giants just spent a first-round pick on a return man.
Yeah.
That was it. Like they realized that, hey, we haven't had a competent guy returning kicks since Jason Sehorn, and I'm loosely using the word competent there.
Very loosely.
I want
to return kicks. I want it
first kick preseason. ACL done. There's your career. I'm glad you're married to that Law and Order chick, because that's all you're going to be doing
Harmon,
for the
I think?
Next 10 years.
Yeah. What? Anyway. So that's what I thought, and so you hope that Jernigan's been returning kicks in practice. So you hope that one of these guys can step up and become a decent return guy. Well, as a Giant fan, I cringe every time. Like, I'm like, yay, all right, the other team's gonna punt. Oh God, that means we have to return one. Oh hell.
See, I don't even really cringe at it. I don't think that it's blundered. You know, it's a blunderful experience for the Giants. But
it's
the Coughlin
fumble
era,
waiting to happen.
It's not. That's not the perception I have when it happens. It's just that Coughlin is so ultra-conservative. R.W. McCorders, you can't even run a sub-540 at this stage of your career, but you're not going to fumble the ball. So go out there, get it, move 2 yards up,
and then
go
and
down.
Then, and then he gets the ball, takes 10 steps in the NFC Championship game, and promptly fumbles.
Right.
So that's like three isolated incidents in the past 5 years, but it's just, as a Giant fan, they just stick in the back of
my
dynamic mind.
A dynamic punt return team would be something that we haven't had in years. And what I thought was interesting is that at camp on Saturday, we had Wilson, Reuben Randall, second-round pick out of LSU, and Jernigan were both back, or both, all three of those guys were returning kicks. And then the following couple of days that I've been there, I haven't seen as much of Wilson back there.
Wilson got in for like, he stepped back for the last kickoff and then didn't catch the ball. Jernigan took it, and then they blew the whistle.
So
it
seems to me
that Wilson got one rep, but he didn't actually get the ball.
It's possible that Coughlin's seeing what we're seeing out of Wilson and thinking this guy is too valuable to risk injury on kick returns. We need him on the offense.
And in the press conference yesterday, Coughlin had great things to say about Wilson and his explosion. He was very complimentary to Wilson, so maybe that is what he's seeing. And
which would be great. The guy has phenomenal hands is another thing I've noticed. If you can add the screen pass into the Giants offense, which is something that really hasn't been a major factor since the Tiki era.
Yeah, when you're catching Ryan Perilou passes in camp.
Right, because he's throwing it 150 miles an hour, 5 yards, and it's definitely not where it should be.
It is 12 feet over your head and 900 miles an hour. And so kudos to that guy. And so look, I mean, I think what you have to say right now is Giant camp is Giant camp. Eli is Eli. He's working some things out with Martellus Bennett. You want to see some guys come back, Boley and Rivers, guys who just have some nagging injuries. You want to see those cleared up and get everybody back. But right now, Thomas's injury hurts. But overall, I am very encouraged with the Giants. Looking at the roster, who they've got back, how things are shaping up. Nix and Thomas are the two ones that are like,
I mean, they're very deep when you look
Nix
at them.
Nix comes back. I'm impressed. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, my level of concern over Nix at this point is a one maximum. I think he's going to come back fine. He's worked enough with Eli. They have great rapport. Mm-hmm. He can just pick up. No big deal there. It's very different from when Amukamara broke his foot. As a rookie, had a shortened training camp, had the lockout, really didn't have a time to blend in, to learn Coughlin's system, to earn his stripes. And so then when all of a sudden he had to be thrown in midseason, he struggled a little bit after a hot initial start. I think we'll see a lot more from Amukamara, not worried about Nix. And generally speaking, you know, they added depth at linebacker, which was a weakness. Again, they're going to be improved at cornerback despite the Terrell Thomas injury. You know, you lose Manningham, but you have Jernigan, you have Reuben Randall. Listen, Manningham, I like. He drops a lot of balls. He doesn't run tight routes. Very good around the sideline.
I think
sideline.
Eli Manning has shown that he can turn any receiver at any point into a threat. Like
CJ Ballard.
Jake Ballard, and Bear Pasco, tight ends running sub-940s, and they're and they're threats that you have to watch out for. And I think that's largely Eli Manning. So check back. On 1045theteam.com, Joe_1045 on Twitter, Game on Brixie on Twitter, Bruce Jacobs' show, Brian Noe's show. 1045 has got you covered in terms of Giant Camp. Check back with us all camp and, for that matter, all season. It's Two Guys, One Mike.